Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I am unleashing the identity of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." This is our third installment of Who Do You Say I Am? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you better answer that question right. You better answer that question loud. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How we respond to that question, who do you say I am, says everything about our faith, focus, and future. Jesus warned his disciples before these verses that the Sadducees and Pharisees' doctrine would try to change what the disciples thought of Jesus. So this is the first caution. He said, watch what those around you, watch what they say. And I think it's very important that we point out that both of these cautions that Jesus gives us is not about the heathen. And I think that it's very important for us to understand, church, that we should not be surprised when the unbeliever acts like an unbeliever. We should not be surprised when a straight-up heathen acts like a straight-up heathen. But what Jesus cautions us about is he said, be careful of the ones who wear the same label that you do. He said, there's a lot of them who say the right things, but then they start putting some of their beliefs and some of what they want, some of what they think into what's going on, and it begins to change doctrine or change what they believe. He said, be wary of their doctrine. Doctrine is simply what you believe. We talked about what you believe shapes what you say, what you do, where you go, and who you commit to. Then Jesus would warn after this statement of who do you say that I am. He said, I want you to be cognizant and I want you to be prepared because you're going to see people that are religious leaders. You're going to see them start acting a different way. So the second caution he gives us is be careful what religious people do. How many of you know somebody that is religious that does more harm than good for the cause of Christ? We all know them. We live in a city where there is a predominant denomination that they are very, very particular on the way things are done. And when they're not done in those ways, they can be very harmful to unbelievers, to new believers, or maybe even strong believers. Jesus comes to the time after he cautions them, be careful for the doctrine, and he said, this is the thing I need to ask you, is he said, I need to know what they're saying about me. Getting ready to challenge the disciples' belief. And he would say, whom do men say that I am? That is the question that Jesus asked his disciples, not because Jesus hadn't heard the same rumors or the same comparisons that the disciples had heard. But I believe that Jesus asked this question because there should be a distinction between disciples of Jesus Christ and people that believe in Jesus. Come on now. See, when we look around this room tonight, we are very different because most churches have shut their doors due to weather. And we know that every church and every pastor has to make that decision for themselves, but here are a group of believers and a remnant from the Sunday morning crowd, the conference crowd that said, I believe that the house of God is so important that I will do what it takes to get there on a Wednesday night. Can I encourage you that are in this room tonight, you are very different than a lot of people in this world that check the box Christian. Can I encourage believers that are watching at home tonight, the real deal disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, you are very different than the people at your job, the people that you come across in life that say that they are Christians. And so he said, I need to know what other people are saying about me because there needs to be a difference between what they're saying about me and what you say about me. It's always easy for us to speak for someone else. And so that's when the disciples said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you are like a prophet. And Jesus finally said, but I know now what they've said. I need to know what you say. We as a church say a lot of things, and we have a lot of declarations, But at the end of the day, Living Way Church will not stand before God. Each one of us, the almost 8 billion people on this planet, will stand one by one in front of God the Father, and He will either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or He will say, "Depart me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And when you read the Word of God, some of them cast out devils, some of them healed, some of them did great deeds, but they did not know how to name the name of Jesus. They did not know how to answer the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And it gets quiet. The silence is deafening. The silence of the 11 is their answer. But Simon Peter, as we jump into new material, answered. And I believe he stood up with this declaration and he said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." One translation, when we use that word Christ, would say that you are Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of the living God. With this one statement, Peter claims three things that changes the entire revelation of who Jesus is. Number one, he says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, not a Christ, not a God, not a king. He says, you are the one, you are the only. There is not one like you. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why when we worship one God. His name is Jesus. Why? Because we found out others have come saying that they are this God, but they have died and they have fallen by the wayside. But I'm here on a cold night in February in San Antonio to tell you there is only one God. His name is Jesus. He's the only way to get to heaven. He's the only door. He's the only path. He's the only way. He said, you are the Christ. It's why we worship like we worship. Other people don't worship. I grew up in right two places down from our ranch. There was a Buddhist temple. Nice guys. Had conversations with them. Men of peace. Men that were very, very involved in service to the temple. But the one thing that those men did not have was excitement. One thing that those men did not have was a worship. They thought that just them out there taking care of the temple was their worship. But when I come in here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, or maybe it's just me all by myself on a Tuesday afternoon, and I can lift my hands and say, Jesus, I worship you because there's no one like you. No one has done in the world what you've done. No one has done for me what you've done for me. He said, you are the Christ, the Messiah. There is no other. The second thing he said, you are the Christ, Son. You are the Son of God. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, 1 Chronicles 17, 13, it is the prophecy, it is the declaration that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Son of God. That is an amazing statement because He is all flesh when we see Him walk on this earth, but even in all flesh, He is all God because He is literally the seed of God. God's Son come to this earth. And when you start talking like that, it separates you and gives you distinction between you and somebody else because you believe He is the Son of God. Then he says this, the Son of the living God. The third statement he makes is he says, you are a living God. That's one thing for Peter to say. But it's something else for us to say on a Wednesday night, 2,000 years removed, when Jesus, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, he ascended into heaven. It's something completely different for us to say that Jesus is the living God. And so when someone asks you the question, whom do you serve and what kind of church do you go to? And when they ask you why your life is different and you start talking about Jesus, you have to talk about Jesus like he is alive. That's why I don't like dry, dab, dreadful, and dead churches. Why? Because we're not acting like it's a funeral. Most churches act like he's still in the grave. But when we come to Living Way, and the way that we ought to live our life is knowing that Jesus did not stay covered up in the grave, but the stone was rolled away. We got to act like a church, not just on a Wednesday night, but a Monday, a Friday, a Thursday, when all hell breaks loose, when you don't have electricity, when you don't have running water, when you don't have all the food that that you'd like to have, you ought to say, God is still God. He's still good. He's still alive. He brought me this far, and I'm not going to freeze to death. I'm going over. I'm going onward. Why? Because he's a living God. He's a living God. He said, you are the God. He said, you are the Son of, he said, you're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. He said, you are alive. Have you ever met someone that you became fast friends with and then you found out something about them that you didn't like and it changed your relationship? Am I the only one? You meet somebody 2, 3, 4 weeks, everything's cool. Why? Because you've been very superficial in that relationship. And then the closer or the longer you go with someone, the closer you get to them. And now it's no longer talking about frivolous things. Now you start talking about deeper things. You're no longer talking about what you had for dinner yesterday. It's no longer about who's going to be in the Super Bowl and who you think's going to win. You start talking about life, and then they start dropping these truth bombs on you that they think and that they believe. And you think, wow, I don't know if I like this person like I thought I liked them 2 days ago. See, that's where a lot of us are, because a lot of us, we are looked at by others as Christian. We go to church on Sunday. Then they hear, wait a minute, you go to church on Sunday and Wednesday? Hold on, it's Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse, and you're still going to church? Hold on a second, you give 10% of your money to the church? Wait a minute, you serve and they don't pay you to serve, but you show up an hour early for service. You show up halfway through the week. You're stocking shelves at the food bank. You're showing up. Are you telling me why does it change? Because their definition of Jesus is different than your definition of Jesus. They're used to Jesus as a statue, Jesus on stained glass. But Jesus is not a statue. He's not some figure on a stained glass. He's not a prophet, a teacher, a good man. He is my God. He saved me. He raised me up. He filled me with his spirit. And so when I talk about going to church 2, 3, 4 times a week, serving, giving, I'm doing it. Why? Because Jesus has changed who I am. It's like when you're talking to somebody and you're talking about basketball and you find out, man, we love basketball. This is a great connection. I can't wait to hang out with this person more. And they say crazy things like LeBron's better than Michael Jordan. You're like, I don't know if I can really hang out with this person anymore. Or you find out they have their steak cooked well done and they eat it with ketchup. Like, I don't know if I can hang out with this person anymore. Let's go a little deeper. You find out who they voted for. Now everybody's laughing nervously. You find out that they're pro-abortion. You're taking steps back saying, now hold on, we're both Christians. And I don't agree with the person they voted for. And we disagree on this social issue. And now there is what? Separation. Can I tell you, church, that there are some people that we need to be separated from? It is okay for the things that you believe out of the Word of God to cost you relationships. Me or you being a jerk should not be what cost us relationships. But us saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I believe that because he gave his life for me, that he controls the decisions I make, how I live my life, how I go about my business, who I marry, where I go to school, where I go to church. I believe that he has a say in those matters. And then people say, oh, you're one of those kind of Christians. Let me be as plain as I can with this next statement. There are not two different kinds of Christians. There's only one Christian. We are the real deal. There are people parading as Christians that are not believers. And when they stand before God, God will say, he will say, depart from me. But for those in this room and watching online, for most of us, we believe and we declare what Peter said. And when we stand before God, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to welcome us in with open arms. Can I encourage you that your relationship with God is going to cost you some relationships? Oh, my God. God, but your relationship with Jesus is going to put you into some relationships with the right people, the right kind. I watched a great, and most of us have lived on social media these last 3 days because even in the blackouts, we've still got our phone. We start scrolling. And I love what a young black preacher said last night. He said, we've got to get past black church and white church. We got to get past Democrat church and Republican church. We got to get past Baptist church and Pentecostal church. He said, the moment you put an adjective in front of church, you're in the wrong. There's only one church, and it's the church that Jesus built. It's only one church, and it's the church that Jesus started. I don't want to jump ahead too far, but he said, I'm going to build my church upon this revelation, Peter. I'm here to tell you that God's church, who we are, is an amazing thing that God has started, and we are undefeated when we remember that the God that was big enough to start the church is going to see the church through every tough time we come into contact with. Some people are cool with you until you tell them that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. John 10:9, Jesus said, I'm the door. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Meaning there are no other roads. I am sorry, Oprah. I am sorry, Tom Cruise, but all roads do not lead to heaven. I am sorry, all roads and all religions do not lead to Jesus. Every other religion is a dead end. Actually, let me rephrase that. Every other religion is not a dead end. Every other religion is a road straight to hell. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ. It's the reason we're here on a Wednesday night. It's the reason you open up your Bible on a Thursday afternoon. It's the reason why things that God has spoken into your spirit has altered your course and your decision-making, all because you believe he is the way. Some people are cool with you until you tell them that Jesus is the Son of God and that you cannot get to the Father except through him. John 14:6, Jesus said, no man comes to God the Father but by me. There's a lot of people that are cool with your Krispy Kreme Christianity, and when we were all Christian and we were all going, but when they find out that you start making some absolute statements like Peter made, that listen, there's only one way and it's through Jesus Christ, that's when people begin to become uncool with you. Some people are cool with you until you tell them God is not dead, that he's moving, he's working with all power and authority, that miracles are still able and possible. Luke 22, but I have prayed for thee that your faith would not fail, and when you art converted, strengthen thy brethren. 12 other verses say that Jesus himself is seated or standing at the right hand of the Father. I will say this until I'm dead. God is not dead. Our God was only dead for 3 days, and the Son is the only one who was dead, and he was only dead by the world standards, because while his cold, lifeless body laid in a grave in Jerusalem, he was all awake and alive in hell, kicking the devil's teeth down his throat, taking the keys to death, hell, and the grave, slipped back in the backside of the grave just in time for Easter Sunday morning. The stone was rolled away. Jesus came out. He lived on this earth for a few days, ascended into heaven, where he has been praying about you, thinking about you, working for you all this time. He is not dead. He is alive. Which is why Sunday school and children's church is so important. Because I grew up learning songs. God's not. He's really. And when you sing those songs over and over, and you come to a church like this where people come to an altar and they get saved, and you see somebody healed from cancer, and you hear about your friend's parents being restored, and you see drug addicts laying their crack pipes on the altar, come on somebody, and you hear all and you see all of this stuff, and you realize, wow, God is not just a God in the Bible. He's not just on the stained glass. He's alive today. And if he's alive today, he's moving today, church. If he's alive today, he's speaking today, church. He's working today. And Jesus answered, verse 17, and said unto Simon, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. There is a special blessing in the revelation of who Jesus is. I believe that there is a blessing that the moment it dawns on you that Jesus is not some religious figure, I believe whether you are 10 years old at VBS, 17 years old at summer camp, 28 years old on a Wednesday night service, 38 years old on a Sunday morning service, the moment that you realize Jesus is not who I thought he was, come on, church. Jesus is not who they said he was, but Jesus is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, sent to this world to be the Savior of this world, took all of sin of humanity on his back to the cross, died 3 days later, he rose again, and he is now in heaven preparing a place for everybody who has the oh, come on, somebody. That ought to be us in here celebrating tonight. Do you know while you've been working on busted pipes, he's been up there building mansions? Do you know that while you've been worried about electricity and electrical issues, that he's been in the, he is the light? We don't need a light in heaven. Jesus is that light. Do you know why you've been getting tested and quarantined and we've been going through this thing called pandemic? He's been saying, all for every child that calls on my name, for everyone that knows how to answer, who do you say I am? I am building. I am preparing. And in the middle of him building mansions, Sister Tammy, I love Luke 22. He's still praying for me. While he's building mansions, he's praying for my faith. While he's laying streets of gold, he's praying for your faith. Can I encourage you today? There is a blessing for every believer with the sound of my voice that when you say the name of Jesus, and I know who you are, you're the Savior of my soul, you are my blessed assurance. When you have that revelation, a blessing goes into effect. I don't believe the blessing is just heavenly. I believe there's a blessing on this earth. That blessing is activated when the revelation is declared. Two words here, declared and acted on, not just believed. In closing, this is what I want you to take away from this tonight. The blessing, when I declare Jesus, you are the Christ. When I say the Christ or the Messiah, what I'm saying is you're the only way. What I'm saying is Buddha couldn't get the job done. Allah can't get the job done. What I say is Muhammad was a false prophet. Come on now, let's get to it. Hare Krishna is false. Scientology is a lie from the pit of hell. Humanology and all of the humanistic and the new age and burning sage and horoscope, all of that's a lie. Jesus, because when you say yes to Jesus, you say no to everything else. When you say yes to healing, you say no to every sickness. When you say yes to wealth, you say no to every lack, every depletion. When you say yes to Jesus, you're saying no to everything else. But check this out. You can't just say, I believe. Because the Bible is very clear. One verse, and it's James chapter 2, verse 19. You believest that there is one God. You do well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Romans 10 tells us that salvation is given to those that believe and confess. James 1, 22 would say, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because when you hear only, deceive yourself. So what he's saying is if you say you believe, you better act on it. When you say you believe, you better declare it. And so the blessing that is given when we declare who Jesus is only activated when that revelation is declared and acted on. Stand on your feet, church. Declared, acted on. And I was sad earlier this week. Found out that Dr. Frederick Casey Price had passed away. One of the greatest faith preachers ever. I encourage you, go watch him on YouTube. Just blow your mind in faith. Had a chance, Bishop and I shared the platform with him just, I think, 3 or 4 years ago at a conference in Tennessee. Had a chance to meet him. And what I love about him is that there is no fluff. Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal all the time. I remember he was preaching. And there was a photographer. We got all these photographers for social media, and they're around here taking pictures. And sometimes I'm sure they're a distraction to you, but look at the bigger picture. We're getting the word out and letting people know. But I remember there's a photographer in a setting like this, just him preaching and teaching. And he reamed out the photographer and said he was being a distraction and said, I don't want to see you again, and sent that photographer out the door. But man, when he started preaching on faith, something, man, it would just fire me up. But the problem is a lot of time we're inspired, but we're not inspired to the place that we make a declaration or we do not act on it. That's why I love Living Way, because we give every opportunity for someone to come down to this altar. And see, when you leave your seat, it's not so that we can pray. I don't have any more power than you do as a believer. You have access to the same power I do. And the pandemic has robbed us of touching a lot of people. So sometimes we don't even touch and agree. But let me tell you, by you getting out of your seat and coming to the altar, it's more of a declaration. It's more of an act that, God, I believe and I am obeying and I am putting action, not an act as in you're playing the part, but an action with my belief. Who do you say I am? It's got to be more than a belief. A belief will make you feel God on this earth, but you're looking for a home called heaven, and you're looking for power on this earth. I'm going to tell you, the last 3 days, they've been trying. They've been hard, but my faith in Jesus has kept me going, kept a smile on my face when I was cold and couldn't feel my toes or my fingers. I want to open this altar right now for anybody that's ready to act, ready to declare,